Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. St. Mark's Gospel does not include a birth narrative of our Lord. It just starts right in with John the Baptist proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins and all the country of Judea and Jerusalem coming out to the Jordan River, confessing their sins and being baptized. With King Herod, however, things went in a slightly different direction. John got up close and personal. He named specific sins, public sins, adultery. He condemned Herod for divorcing his first wife and taking Herodias as a wife, his brother's wife, brother Philip. And Herod responds by arresting John and putting him in prison. Now, the imprisonment of John, probably in Herod's fortress across the Jordan, gave Herod an interesting opportunity to listen to John preach. And Mark describes Herod's reaction. It's a mixture of things. You've got fear, because he knew John was a righteous and holy man. If you've ever seen, like, been around wicked people, evil people, and watch how they react sometimes if they're confronted with a priest or a pastor. It's an interesting dynamic. Mark also tells us that he was greatly perplexed. He was inwardly disturbed when he listened. But he also said he gladly listened to John. So what do we make of this? I guess the best I can do as I think about it is look at myself and ask, well, how do I react to the preaching of the law and the gospel? Well, the law fills us with fear. When it does its work on our hearts and minds, it can be very disturbing, and yet we keep coming back for more. We actually are glad to come to church and hear the preaching of the law and gospel. Maybe it's because there's something impelling about truth, but even more impelling about Jesus and his mercy. Well, whatever was going on inside of Herod, the problem of what to do with John the Baptist was soon resolved by a cunning Herodias. And you all know the gruesome story. Herod throws a lavish birthday party. The wine flows, the platters of finest food are brought out and consumed, and Salome, a first century pole dancer of sorts, entices an ogling, voyeuristic, lecherous king. Between her sensual dance and undoubtedly ample quantities of wine, Herod's tongue is loosened. A little wine is good. It loosens the tongue, reduces inhibitions, and emboldens the will. Too much wine, on the other hand, weakens the will, inhibitions, and the tongue, and can result in words and deeds that can lead to a lifetime of regret and sadness. Well, with his tongue, Herod utters a very stupid thing, a stupid promise to Salome. She can have up to half his kingdom. And so when she asked for the head of John the Baptist on a platter, Mark tells us Herod was extremely sorry, deeply grieved over the entire predicament he had gotten himself into with his stupid tongue. This wasn't contrition over the role he played in the death of an annoying preacher. This was not repentance, the kind that John the Baptist and Jesus were demanding. Rather, he was sad because he didn't have the will to just break his foolish oath, to break his promise in front of these guests. So he acted swiftly and decisively, and he sent the executioner out to bring John's head on a platter. Even though many of his guests were military men, accustomed to bloodshed and butchery on a battlefield, one can only imagine what kind of atmosphere this banquet took at this point. Nothing spoils the appetite. Nothing brings a banquet to an abrupt end like head on a platter for the final course. And the irony is that the decapitated prophet, a decapitated prophet can't talk, can't do what prophets do. And the irony is that the king, who did not have the strength to keep his own tongue silent, silenced the tongue of one of God's prophets, who, if he would have used his tongue for him, could have actually saved, through his words, Herod from his sin and from death. Today's text ends. When the disciples heard of it, they came and took his body and laid it in the tomb. Herodias and Herod thought they had shut up this prophet for good, but they were wrong. They silenced Jesus, but now they silenced John, but now Jesus is traveling throughout Galilee, healing the sick, casting out demons, and preaching the same message that John preached, repentance and forgiveness. And when Herod heard about it, his tongue uttered some words again, words that revealed a fearful, guilty conscience. It really was his worst nightmare of sorts. John, whom I beheaded, has been raised. Sins have a way of doing that with us. We think we can bury them. We have all kinds of ways in which we by nature cover them up. Denial, blaming others, blaming God, rationalizing, drugs, alcohol, busyness, a host of activities to drive them from our memory, but they keep rising from the dead. The only way to deal with sin is to repent, confess, say it, say the sin, what it is, and then receive holy absolution. Today, St. Mark has painted us a picture in his gospel of a lavish banquet which was brought to a gruesome end as the severed head of a righteous and holy man was carried in on a dish. As you eat and drink of the Lord's Supper, the banquet of all banquets, it wouldn't be surprising if an image of the death of John the Baptist flashes through your mind. Wouldn't surprise me. The appointed gospel, read at the lectern, preached at the pulpit, is always connected to the altar. It sets the table. It prepares us for the meal. But take comfort, what you will see are two ministers walking around with a chalice and plates, but there won't be anyone walking around with a plate carrying the head of a dead prophet. At least not this morning, because this isn't Herod's supper. This is the Lord's supper. The risen and living Lord Jesus is the host today. But remember, to prepare this meal for us, out of his love for you, he underwent a death far worse than that of John the Baptist. It is impossible to separate the holy and blessed banquet of his body and blood from the body and blood which was given and shed on the cross. Herod was very glad to listen to John. How much more glad are we to be with our risen Lord Jesus and to hear him say, "Take, eat. This is my body." And "This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins." What love, huh? In the name of Jesus.